Thank you, Prem. Thank you, Sai Prakash. And dear listeners, Sai Ram from Prashantinilayam, the most happening place on the planet. As I always say, yes, the first week of New Year in Prashantinilayam was one of joy, wonder and celebration. Celebration of the Lord's glory and Lord's love. On the New Year Day, you had the alumni of Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning and Sri Sathya Sai Higher Secondary School make their splendid offering to Swami in the form of beautiful band performances, songs, dance, lovely sharing of reminiscences straight from the heart. And just after this, on January 4th and 5th, you had the National Annual Convention of All India Balvikas Alumni and Group 3 students of Balvikas. And this was quite a historic occasion, indeed a very, very reassuring festival. And there were so many moments as this Balvikas convention was going on, and if you are someone who was watching all these hundreds of students loaded with so much hope, student exuding so much of optimism, you are filled with a sense of real elation, because you feel that there is so much of good tidings to come, because you are seeing a young brigade who is so passionate about human values and who are so happily embracing the ideals which are close to Bhagwan's heart. Their speeches were inspiring, their performances were absolutely thrilling. On our website, you can read about this. Actually, you can see the images of some of the star performers of this grand occasion. Apart from their high ideals and how they have learned so many virtues in the Balvikas classes, we also got a glimpse of their talent during this occasion. There was a 7-year-old little champ, Truptiraj Atul Pandya, who holds the Guinness World Record for being the youngest tabla player on the planet, for playing the instrument when he was merely 3 years of age. A glimpse of this tabla wonder, Truptiraj Atul Pandya. And after his performance, when we got a chance to speak to him, as you would have read in our article by Arvind on our website, his mother says, we don't know when this talent came to him. He was actually almost born with this. We never really trained him for this. He just, right from his childhood, he would just play these beats on any instrument, on any surface. Beats would just roll out of his hands. And then when we asked, why did you want to enroll him for Balvikas classes? His mother said, I wanted my son to join Balvikas because there is more to life than just becoming great. I want my son to be a good human being. And I saw that the Balvikas gurus are so full of motherly love. They help shape children into becoming men of good character. This is the reason why I wanted my son to join Balvikas. The mother of Truptaraj Atul Pandya, the youngest tabla player on the planet. That just shows the impact the Balvikas movement is having on the children, as well as the cascading effect of the positive influence of this movement started by Bhagwan way back in 1960s. Similarly, there was another sterling dance performance by little Pooja Alan, who mesmerized all with her dance steps. She started with dancing on a plate, then on two copper plates, and finally on the copper pots, and finally on the copper pots placed inside the plate, and all the while holding aloft a flame which was burning about three pots on her head, and also a flame each in both her hands. I know this must be really very confusing for you. You have to see the photo gallery of this on our website. This little girl was absolutely spellbinding, the feats that she did while dancing. So like this, every moment of this Balvikas alumni convention had its moments of thrill, had its moments of absolute joy and absolute hope and optimism. So it indeed has been an exciting week, and this excitement is only going to increase and perhaps reach its crescendo in this month in a couple of days. From now on January 11th, the day when we have the inaugural ceremony of the annual sports and cultural meet of Sri Sathya Sai Educational Institutions. If you happen to go to the stadium any of these days, you would see that it is a beehive of activity. Right from early hours in the dawn till there is light in the evening, all the campuses are busy making optimum use of their time slots on the stadium, giving final touches to their items. And what also happens invariably every morning is the practice of march past. And this really is a sight to behold. Tiny tots to PhD students, everyone in absolute discipline, surging ahead, left, right, left. And these days, I'm really delighted to see this every morning. And for me, what is even more inspiring is how former students of our university come back to help their junior brothers in various events of this sports meet, including the march past. In fact, the other day I saw one such alumnus, Srinidhi, who now works in the armed forces. In fact, he has been serving in the defense now for 14 years. He joined right after his master's in financial management, which he completed in 1998. And I see him every morning training the current students in march past. I just could not contain my curiosity, so I went up to him and I asked him if he could just come to the studio and share what is his motivation. What is it that propels him to take off 2 weeks from his job every year to help boys with the march past? And finally I managed to have him in the studio yesterday, and he did share what drives him to do this year after year, and how does he feel about it personally. So that's one of the things I'm going to play for you tonight. This is about 20 minutes, this inspiring conversation with Srinidhi. And after this, I will continue with playing for you the beautiful reflections and experiences of four devotees from three countries who were in Prashanthalayam this year, rather last year, yes, who were here for Christmas 2013, which was truly an exceptional festival in the last calendar year in this divine hamlet. So these are the two beautiful things in store for you tonight in this segment of Thursday Life.
to Sai.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Stay tuned.
So welcome to Outside, Inside, Deep Inside on Radio Sai Thursday Live. I'm Team Radio Sai's Bishu, and as I just mentioned, we're going to listen today first to the conversation with Srinidhi, an alumnus of Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, who is here in Prashantanilayam now to train the current students in March past. Here it is. Sairam, Brother Srinidhi, and a warm welcome to the studios of Radio Sai.
Thank you, brother. It's a great privilege. I know the kind of people who have graced this studio, both by their caliber is very high, worldly achievement, as well as their devotion to Swami. Thanks for inviting me.
Well, it is so heartening, actually, that you are here. And in fact, it is definitely Radio Sai's privilege speaking to you, because you are one of those alumni of Bhagwan's University who every year comes back to the university during the time of sports meet, and for the last 6 years you've been here from Christmas till sports meet training the boys with March Past. And it's really a very beautiful sight, especially for me, when I see that a senior brother of ours who is now into armed forces coming back and teaching our younger brothers March Past. So what has been your inspiration to do this year after year, even after Bhagwan has left his physical form?
I think that's a very big question. The first thing is, the inspiration is very simple. That is, the education that I got here has just directly been instrumental in me getting into the armed forces. It's little surprising probably for a few listeners, but what Swami has established, believe me, is a military academy with a tinge of spirituality. Barring the two prayer sessions and few other things, the kind of discipline, the kind of group loving what is instituted in military academy and here is same. And Swami has just brought in that. And
the group dynamics with love.
With love, yeah, absolutely. That's the probably new thing to coin here. And that's what helped me to get in there. And as I was going through my selection procedure, I could see how each and everything helped me to get in. Like one thing I was told when one of the hostels was being built, somebody suggested to Swami that boys should be given individual rooms because there are donors to give it probably. So let's have a bigger hostel with boys having the luxury of being in single rooms. Then they said, okay, Swami didn't show interest. Then they said, probably Swami is looking at the budget to cut it down. They said, okay, two boys in a room kind of thing. Swami gave this formula, 11 boys, and each boy, one window, one cupboard, and one chair.
Yes.
This is how our hostel has been built. And let me tell you, this is, we staying 11 boys in a hostel, in a room, and living together, helping each other is a great thing. And this is what is precisely tested in the military selection procedure. How well can you gel with the people?
Mm-hmm.
And in the selection procedure, we are actually put into a place wherein we are 11 to 15 people.
Mm-hmm.
And we are evaluated without being told in a very indirect manner. And your behavior, how you feel for others, how you help others is really evaluated in a different way. And I think these are the things even I didn't know I was being evaluated, but I just cleared
but
it.
But those things have, they're naturally in
naturally,
you.
Because Swami wanted the boys to learn how to adjust with the other person and how to love. So it is only one of the things. There are so many things this institute has given me, and incrementally, day to day, I have learned, and that has been instrumental for me to get into this great service, and I have been doing. So it's my give back time, so I want to give it as much as possible, and that's why I come back year after year. Initial few years, I could not do it for whatever the reason, but once I got this chance, I don't want to leave it. I don't want to leave it because this is one way I can give back what institute has given me. And as far as even after Bhagwan leaving physically, I think it's immaterial because what Bhagwan has given us is with us. So it's now immaterial. We have to come back and give it to the institute, look at it as institute rather than Swami. Then the institute is there, what Swami established, so we have to come back. That's what has been my feeling, and that's why I'm coming again and again.
Wonderful. But why march past? You can contribute to the university in so many other ways.
Yeah, I suppose there are many ways, but looking at one way, probably that is my forte, where I have actually evolved, and for me, for joining the services, this is one beautiful thing I've learned, but I think most important is, this is the subject Swami loved. I've
got march past.
March past, no doubt. Many people will be surprised, and many people might be even shocked, but I have physical evidences to give. That is, Swami continued to come and see the rehearsals of march past till the last year of his physical existence. Only the last year he could not come. 2011 march past he didn't come and see. Irrespective of his physical limitations, he took time out to come and watch.
Oh yes, I mean that is true. And we used to see every year Swami would come to see the march past rehearsals. And he may or may not see any item. Sports meet item or a particular stunt or a program, but march past you would definitely
see. March past you would definitely see, and it's a big thing to sit through the whole rehearsal.
Exactly. In fact, it could be actually boring for someone sit through.
Absolutely. The parents who come, they will just see where is his son or daughter marching, and once that is over, they will probably switch off and...
But Swami, as you very rightly put, Swami would always, like those 40-45 minutes, he would sit and he would want to see every squad.
And he would comment. That is more important. Sitting, watching is different, and commenting, it directly means it is being closely watched, not just witnessing. Witnessing, you witness a movie, you watch a movie, but close observation demands much more, and Swami paid that. In fact, there are a few photographs now and then you can see sports meet rehearsal time. You can see that the attention of the people behind is away, but Swami's concentration is there on the event that is happening.
Absolutely.
So this is how he gave importance, and I think he had his reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Because march past is one item which gives many things to the people, which consciously or unconsciously, people are not aware, but unconsciously it brings in few things.
Mm-hmm.
One is the confidence. The confidence with which you walk, probably we otherwise generally used to little, you know, head down and walk kind of thing. But that is not exactly the thing when you walk out in the world that is required. So to look up and walk and...
Your chest up and chest you walk up, with a steady gait.
Gait. Yes. And that is brought in with the march past. As you do it again and again, it slowly...
Sort of straightens your body.
There is a confidence which is built inside you. Straight, probably few people walk, but the eyes will not speak the same. Maybe they are walking straight, but the confidence in the eyes is something different. So this confidence is built in for individuals. And in military, what is called esprit de corps, that is love for the group. So this is built up. And how this is built up is simple. That happens by thinking together. So you keep thinking same thing together, you will start achieving great things. 1 + 1 = 2. So when this marching happens, the first thing happens is you start thinking together. You think only two things, left, right. But with that, the thinking is on. And all the 50 of them are thinking the same.
Yes.
With that, there is something building up. If 1 + 1 = 2, 50 of them together is certainly more than 50. That's why during the war times and all, they say, don't catch me the civilians, catch me one soldier, he is equivalent to 100 civilians. Because that is the kind of power that builds up when somebody grows together, thinks together, and they walk together.
So when people march, you're seeing all these virtues sort of get inculcated into the students.
Absolutely.
Perhaps when you are doing that as a student, we never realized all
this. I never realized, but this was being built in, and probably this I came to know after going through the academy. In fact, there is a force which builds up, and it is seen. If you just recollect one of those days when there are riots and other things in some of the cities, the police arrive, and what they do is what is called flag march. They just march in the main streets. They don't fire a bullet, but just the way they walk, it creates the fear in that rioters. That is, they can make out these people of 50. Rioters may be hundreds, thousands. But this disciplined group of 50 can crack us down. This message goes just by marching.
Because they're marching together.
They are marching together. And that discipline, thinking together, they are not only walking together, they are thinking together, left, right, and with that confidence they are walking and they are digging the heels, that power is seen.
Yes.
And with that, the riot comes under control.
So they are perceived as a very formidable force.
They are perceived as a formidable force. And we are being built into a formidable force. We are not thousands and lakhs as a group, but whatever task, we are not being prepared here for a war. But whatever the task we are doing, that potential is maximized by walking together and thinking together. And I think these are the few aspects or the ingredients which gets into the personality once you do the mass pass. And I love this, your previous question, why you want to come back and do mass pass is, I feel one of the biggest thing I can contribute is this way. If the individuals can get this, one is their individual confidence and how to build up the potential of a group together. If I can contribute it to it, nothing like it. So that's my joy.
Wonderful.
That's my joy.
Though wonderful.
It demands sweat, but sweating is my pleasure, I suppose.
Yeah, I know. Especially in these times, it is not easy because this is one of those periods in Prashantilam when it is very cold in the mornings. It's biting cold, but
I make the people remove their jacket and with t-shirt, make them sweat.
Yeah, I know, but it really needs that amount of push from your side to shake off that laziness and shake off that whatever is affecting you from outside. You know, don't bother so much about whether it is so cold or whatever it is. Just go ahead and do it. Once you start doing, your body warms up and everything
warms
is fine.
Up. You will be hot enough to achieve anything.
Yeah, absolutely. So, now you've been doing this for so many years now. Tell me, Srinidhi, what has been your experience of training our boys? In the sense, what is your perception of the quality of our marching? How are our boys doing? Now, because you're someone, yes, you were a student, but after that, now almost for 14, 15 years, you've been there in the armed forces and you have perhaps trained and participated and groomed and directed professional performances.
There is no doubt that our boys do a great job, though I won't hesitate to say there is a gap between a performance like RD parade, Republic Day parade. But we must understand, we are not directly into that.
Yes.
Our intention, Swami's intention here is, as I said, to develop the individuals and develop the discipline. We are not here actually as a showpiece. March past is not a showpiece for us.
Just like the soldiers do it in the Republic Day parade in Delhi.
Of course, the people are selected for the task and it's since morning 4:30, evening 6:30 with few gaps in between. They do only this for months. And so we are not doing such a great intensive training. But given the fact that probably an hour training, that is say from Christmas to sports days, around 15 hours, probably another 10 hours before, probably if you lose training sessions.
Yeah.
Given that much, it's a great performance. Given this fact, it's a great performance. What our boys perform, I would attribute it to two reasons. One is our boys' love for Swami.
Mm-hmm.
So even when we were there and now also it is those, Bhagwan is not there physically, what is told is do it for Swami. So again they come back. So it is driven with love. It is driven with love. That is one thing. And another is Swami's grace. Swami's grace is there. Anywhere we take one step, he takes 10 steps. And we have seen this enough number of experiences are there and I am sure it continues to happen. Every year sports meet used to be an experience for us how Swami's grace works. The blockage was from our side. To take an initiative. You take an initiative, things will happen. That used to happen. So, whatever with one love for Swami and whatever boys do, and then the grace flows and the marching standard does really come up. So, that way boys do a great job. There is scope for improvement, but I think given as a group and it's a set of individuals with multi-talent. We have singers, we have great academic performers. Bringing them together and getting this standard.
Everyone. And Swami was very particular about that.
He was particular. Because I know, means now I understand why Swami laid so much emphasis on.
Yeah. Swami would not exclude anyone from arts past.
Now I know, because that is the very important part of the training here. So Swami didn't want anybody to go out of that.
Wonderful.
So that is there.
So you are saying, yes, it is boys' effort, but and divine grace.
Both are there.
The love for boys, the love for Swami and Swami's grace.
Swami's grace.
Both of them work.
Both of them work, and I can see it year after year, I suppose.
Wonderful. And Srinidhi, you are saying that there have been times when you have seen how the divine grace works. Can you recollect anything from your student days? May not be much past, but any event where you thought this happened only because of divine grace?
I think there will be many instances, but I think one instance stands out. That is, I think during the year 95, that is the first time probably Vrindavan campus thought of doing the bike stunts. And I was not knowing how to ride bike, but I was very good at acrobatics. So okay. I did few acrobatics
on the bike.
On the bike and between the bikes and some things like that. So I was there part of the group after the initial presentation. It was on the Christmas day, I remember very well. After the presentation, we were called to the field and those military instructors.
By presentation, you mean?
Yeah, they made a small presentation, what all is done and what all is likely.
People from the military?
Yeah, they did it.
They were just showing you what are the different fields that you can do.
Yeah, okay. And when we went to the field, those instructors asked us, when is the program? We said, January 11th. Oh, ek saal mein ho jayega.
Oh, 1 year?
He was thinking the January 11th of the next year.
Oh my God.
We said, there is no 1 year, we have got only 15 days.
15 days.
He said, 15 days, forget. He said, we by being dedicatedly into this job, we take minimum 6 months to learn.
To pick up all the stunts.
Stunts. And we all have one broken bone minimum inside our body. That's what was his mistake. So we said, we just don't have that and this is a task, we have to do it. Then probably for some compulsion, he said, okay, start. So as we started, things started picking up and by the time January 6th or 7th, we were doing almost 80% of that.
Oh my God, they must have been really surprised.
They were really surprised and those people probably, I don't know whether how much divinity they felt in Puttaparthi, but they were certainly impressed with the boys' performance and if the same persons are given, they would like to come and give the training to our students again and again. Because you train them and the result is so quick.
So quick. I mean, they're saying they themselves have taken 6 months.
6 months.
And your boys doing it in 15 days.
15 days. Swami's grace flows, no doubt on that fact.
Yes. Fantastic. And in fact, after you started coming every year for training students on March past, were you there on any occasion when Bhagwan was physically there and watching the rehearsals?
Yeah, I've been really fortunate. I would treat it as pinnacle of my professional career. In 2009, Swami came twice, January 5th and 7th. On January 5th, he saw the events, but again, though he was physically not that well, he came on January 7th. January 5th, when he came, he sat outside and saw the event practice, but January 7th, he was not probably that well, but he sat inside the car and asked the mass pass to begin.
Mm-hmm.
And he sat through the whole mass pass practice in front of Shanti Vedika down inside the car. And once the practice was over, he called for the instructors. There were a few people from army and one retired army person is there. And I was there. I come here by taking leave for this purpose. So we all went and Swami spoke to us professionally. He said, the gap between the two squads should always be equal.
So, oh, okay.
He was looking at a much larger view than just individual squads because we were concentrating probably too much on the.
So he was looking at the performance as a whole,
as
the
a
march
whole,
past performance
yeah.
as a whole. And you're saying there is too much gap between the squads.
No, it's not uniform.
It's not uniform.
It's not uniform. You want to keep 50 meters, it has to be 50-50-50. That was the kind of thing his this thing was.
Wow.
And he said there should not be any vacant time and space in front of the dais.
In front of the dais, there should never be.
Yeah, it should always be action-packed.
Oh, wow.
But in fact, he went on to say, as in when the last file marches out, the first one should be coming in. That is the minimum. Otherwise, it should be there.
Yes.
It should be happening.
So from the people who are watching from the stage, they are all the time occupied.
All the time occupied. And we know this, but we came to know how Swami is looking at it so intensely and even at that much physical limitations he was having on those years, but his eyes were sharp and he was keeping tab on everything as with regard to the march past. I think years back he used to come and sit in the stadium and in the evening he has pointed out few boys, hey, you are not doing.
In darshan time.
He couldn't point out there because everything is happening and you can't actually stop it.
Yes.
But he had registered over the boys who have not done well, whatever they didn't do it together or they bent their elbow or they bent their knee. He was keeping a track, and evening darshani has told them, you have been noted for not doing the way you are supposed to do maspa. So I think there is no doubt in the fact that it was very close to his heart. He wanted every boy to do it and gain that whatever this activity has got to give and carry it for life.
And now when you reflect, more and more you know how important maspa is.
How important it is, certainly, certainly. And I'm very happy I'm teaching this to the students, because this is the subject which was closest to Swami's heart. I know there are other subjects where Swami used to go to the college. He has taken few classes for different subjects and all, but
yes,
probably one thing he continued till the end is
yes,
only March Pass.
Yes,
March
every year.
March Pass holds that.
Absolutely, absolutely. And Swami used to always inquire when the March Pass session, has it started or
has
not?
Has it started? Yeah, he wanted to come and see. He was impatient to come and see.
Absolutely, wonderful.
I'm very happy I'm part of this.
And Shridi, you are contributing so much now to the college in your own way and coming every year. Can I ask you, what is it that you are taking from this place now? Is this place giving you anything now? You are giving so much to this place now.
I think this place has given so much. I am still digesting what it has given 15 years back. So it's only give back time, I suppose. And of course, that place certainly has things to give. Every time I come, I hear to some story, somebody's experience. It's wow for me. Wow, Swami used to do this. Swami used to do this. And it just gives that awesome feeling of saying, oh, oh. So I think that's a great thing. Of course, Swami's felt now and then, sometimes tears roll from your eyes as you're sitting. They're the moments to carry. Place-wise, there is no doubt this is the place where I've grown up, where my personality has been shaped. And if the lessons come, I'm happy to carry it. But I would love to contribute to this place, whatever I can, whatever I can.
Wonderful. It's really such a great feeling that you are someone who is in the armed forces and contributing to the country's defense capabilities in your own way. So your love for motherland and love for the Divine Mother, both are going on simultaneously. It's really such a
thanks to
Swami heartening
for giving
feeling.
That place
yeah,
where I can do both.
And I hope we will meet again in the studio sometime, because I know there is so much more you have to share. We talked only about your
March past,
yes. And we really marched past because we just spent only...
We have flown past. We have done a fly past over the March past.
Yeah, but I think we have to meet again, and you need to really share about all your moments
that
with Bhagwan.
And
sometime
pleasure.
For RC's fleeting moments, lasting memories. Thank you so much, Srinidhi.
Thank
brother.
You, brother. Thanks for inviting me.
Saram.
Tune into Sai. Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
So you heard to Brother Srinidhi's experience of being part of the annual sports and cultural meet in his own way. Isn't it so inspiring listening to him? How he wants to do his bit and offer his gratitude to Swami for everything that Bhagwan has done for him. As he said, his personality is shaped by this place. He is what he is because of Swami, and he wants to do whatever he can for this place, for this university, and be of some use to Bhagwan. These are moments that are difficult to put in words, because the joy of these moments surpasses the joy of anything worldly, because it is the joy of the soul. And I had the chance to experience this joy also during Christmas. This year, you had the Sai Kulwant Hall packed for Christmas. By this year, I mean Christmas 2013. Last year, yes. And when we talk to so many people who had come from several countries, you know, the only feeling that you got so strongly was the love that we experience in Prashanti, the peace that we feel here, we cannot feel anywhere else. And that is the reason why we want to be in Prashanti. That is the reason why Christmas is so special in Prashanti. That is the reason why we want to come back every year and celebrate Christmas in His divine presence, in His sannidhi, in His proximity. Last Thursday during this hour, I played for you the first part of a conversation that I had with four devotees, Urvashi and Sesha, sisters from South Africa, Mr. Arvind Chauhan from Australia, and Kirithan Subramanyam from Malaysia. They shared about their reinvigorating joy of being a part of Christmas 2013. Arvind Chauhan relived how his only wish and prayer to Swami for many years was that he should be given a chance to at least change one bulb in the ashram, because he's an electrician. And he shared how Swami fulfilled his desire in such a grand way by giving him the entire responsibility of lighting, looking after the lighting of this entire Christmas, all the decoration, everything to do with lights, he was there. You also heard Urvashi, a young devotee from South Africa, talking about her journey to Swami and how on one earlier occasion during their family's visit to Perth, after she landed in Bangalore airport, she had to be deported back to South Africa because of her visa problems. But then how her little sister Sesha was all by herself then and very reluctant to go to Perth alone because her sister was no more there with her. But Urvashi pushed Sesha to go to Perth, and once she came in and spent just one session watching and being there for the Christmas rehearsal session, that changed her life forever. She surprised herself with the transformation that happened within her. So there are so many beautiful moments that were shared by all these four devotees. We played for you some of it last Thursday, and now we move on. So you're going to listen to more of Urvashi and Sesha and Arvind Chauhan and Mr. Kirithan from Malaysia. Mr. Kirithan, another spirited Sai worker from this country. If you want to listen to last week's session, you can download from our Thursday Live archives. So let's move on. And we continue with reliving the reinvigorating joy of Christmas 2013. And it begins with Arvind Chauhan sharing some of his indelible moments.
Brother, to your listeners, let me tell this what happened this Christmas. Mm-hmm. I was approached by this gentleman who works as a cashier in the Western canteen, and I don't know him. That's what he introduced me himself as. I have met him after that near Ganesha Gate, and he said, brother, could you please go and do the decoration at Mother Ishwara's Samadhi? And I said, look, I'll pass this word around to the boys. I said, I'm not really in charge, but I'll see what I can do. So I went and passed the words around to the people who were in charge, and the main guy who was in charge from Australia was Tom, and he said, look, we got other priorities at this moment, and we have to finish that before we go in there. Anyway, when about 12:00, we were loading all the stuff for other work, the boys said, Arvind, what light should we put in Ishrama? And I said, if I say Tom told us not to do it, they'll know, so I kept shut. So we packed the lights. Anyway, when we have loaded everything, he said, let's go. And he said, where shall we start? And they said, let's go to Ishrama Samadhi. And I still kept shut because I said, if I say Tom said that, they won't go. Anyway, we ended up there, and I said two of the boys, they did the inside the samadhi, and I was helping the guys at the gate. Then after they've done the thing, they've lit the lights in there, and the priest logged up, and everything was gone. So I thought I'll sneak in and just have a bit of a video taken of the lights I'm doing. And surprise, surprise, right? The lights that was put in there was... If you see with your naked eyes, they were just steady lights. There is no flicking gadgets there, nothing. But if you see on my camera screen, it's flushing.
Mm-hmm.
It was flushing, and I got the shock on my... And I said to the boys, come here, have a look, what's happening? And they said, what is this? I said, I don't know, just have a look. And then I stopped the camera there, and I took the other bloke from South Africa, who was named Upkar, and said, Upkar, could you please take the video? So he started operating my video, and the same thing happened. And, well, we were all amazed, and I basically knew what was happening. I said, no, it can't be anything else, but Swami is, this is the way, probably saying, thank you.
Another lightning experience to the light man.
of course, yes. And then after 5 minutes, you know, we got a monkey mind, we still want to test Swami. So I went there to test it, and nothing happened.
Oh my God.
The light's just steady. But it was steady all the time. But only on my camera screen, the lights was flashing.
Wow.
So it happened twice. One, I basically took another. So that is the third thing that Swami has proved me, that he's here. He's here. He's not gone anywhere. And 2013 Christmas has rubber stamped in my heart. Swami's here and here, and he's always going to be here.
Wow.
So to your listeners, please don't doubt. If you think Swami is here, he'll show you somehow or the other in any form or shape that he's here. Please.
Amazing. I think if you see also the way the decorations have happened, every building in the ashram is decorated so beautifully. Mm-hmm. Sai Kulwant Hall has acquired a completely new attire, and all the pillars, the Milky Way, even the walls. I mean, I don't think any other festival in Puttaparthi gets this much of decoration. Really, it's not only Sai Kulwant Hall, it's every building. I mean, there were decoration items which came even to Radio Sai. And we actually cleaned up the studio because we saw so many beautiful decoration pieces have come. You know, let us do justice to them. And so we cleaned them.
No, I'll give credit to my Australian mates. They've really worked hard. I've really worked hard day and night. Not even in here, back from home, from the time we learned that we're going to be decorating the place. And I could see how the people were working in the background.
Yes.
And I know if I take one name, then I have to. Oh, I no. might miss a couple. So my very, very thank you to each individual who has been part of this Australia. And even if people who haven't come here, they have contributed their time or resources by somehow or the other. I think whole of Australia should be proud of themselves, what they have done.
Absolutely.
Here in Prashanthi. And I know Swami will be very, very happy on them, and Swami's blessing to all of them.
Yes, absolutely. Phenomenal. Now, I want to go back to what Sister Urushi was saying. You know, in your visit into 2010, you mentioned that you had to go back to the country because of visa problem, and Shesha continued her journey to Prathi. So Shesha, how was it for you, because you were left alone time in Prathi?
Well, brother, let me just backtrack a little. So having been born into a family with a Sai following, both my parents were, and my dad, who was ardently following Swami, and thereafter my mom, having gone through Balvikas and the teachings of Swami, and having that, you know, etched into our hearts, growing up is not always easy, and you tend to follow different paths. So Swami allows you, because you need to learn, and, you know, he'll call you back into his fold when the time is right. So what had happened was, When Vashi had come in September for the Ubuntu production, when she got back, my dad, who having been a follower of Sai for about 45 years, he had never come to Prashanthi.
Oh.
He never. Vashi had been multiple times by then, but he had never come to Prashanthi. And when she had got back in September, she said to my dad, "You are going to Prashanthi for Christmas this December. There's no two ways about it. And, you know, you and mom have to go." So my mom had been before, but not my dad. And with me, I was very, you know, there wasn't a sense of urgency that I needed to come. And there was two things. Firstly, my sole reason for coming to India would have not been to come to Prashanthi Nilayam.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been a holiday for me.
Okay.
And I decided that, okay, if we're going to be spending Christmas in the ashram, that's fine. But I will be touring India because that was my main purpose. And the second thing was, I mentioned that I will not come to the ashram, to Prashanthi, if Vashi's not with me.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the two main things that, you know, and from then we planned and all tickets were booked. My parents and my brother had decided to come, I think it was end of November, and Vashi and I said to her, she never takes a holiday if she's coming. She actually, this is her holiday. So I said to her, "I'm coming with you this time, so we will have a little holiday in Dubai before we get here." And she obviously had to agree with me, mm-hmm. being the younger one. So being a younger sister traveling with an older sister, they usually tend to see to everything. That includes having all the money and passports and all of that. So, you know, I was very free coming here. It was just my hand luggage, and she dealt with taxi cabs and traveling arrangements and all of it. So we had a nice holiday in Dubai at a water theme park there. And when we get to Bangalore, as she mentioned, in the morning, we're both exhausted. It was 3 o'clock in the morning, and she has all of our passports and all of that, and we get to the passport control, and they immediately separated her. I had no idea what was going on. And they immediately told her that she's going to be deported because her visa is not correct. And I was like, there's no way I'm going on without you. I'm going back home too. It's Bangalore at 3 o'clock in the morning. I've never been to India before. You can imagine the type of experience it would have been. So at that point, she insisted. She says, "No, you need to go. Mommy and Daddy are already at the ashram. You just have to get contact with them." How do you get contact when you have no money? You have no idea what their number is. You don't have any clue who your taxi driver is. He doesn't know what you look like. How do you find your way from Bangalore Airport to a place that's 2.5 hours away? Well, Swami knew. And they immediately separated her. I was left at the airport completely distraught, not knowing what to do. And in all of this mayhem, I had to remember that while we were leaving, one of our friends had come to the airport and had given me a little envelope for a donation. She says, "Just put it at the ashram." And I mean, all of those cab drivers, you know, you get this rush, them trying to say they know where to take you, but I mean, I'm not going to be comfortable going with anyone. And then I realized, okay, I've got this money, so I can quickly make a call to my sister's fiancé at the time. So I did, and while he said he was going to give me my dad's number, the guy who owned the telephone, he said he was going to go and find the cab driver for me, my cab driver. I knew his name was Raj, but that's about it.
Mm-hmm.
So while I'm on the phone and getting the number, he brings a cab driver, and he immediately sees me and he says, "Urvashi." So I thought, okay, so he knows Vashi's name. And then I thought, okay, so this is the right guy that I need to go with. Immediately I knew that I'm going to be on a flight back home the next day. I knew that she'd refuse to let me get back with her, but I knew that there was no way that I was staying, and I will get a flight back home the next day. So as we're walking towards the cab, I'm completely distraught, having gone through all of that. And I realized that I had spoken to Raj previously because he had called Vashi's phone to confirm. And when I answered, he sounded British.
Mm-hmm.
As we were walking towards the car, it suddenly clicked in my head, this guy doesn't sound British. And I immediately, he had my bags, and I immediately just kind of backed away and I said, you're not Raj. And then he realized, and he says, I'm not Raj, but Raj sent me. And I'm just like, oh, it was just, I can't even tell you. This woman was playing a huge trick on me, or the prankster that he can be. And then he immediately phoned my mom. And once I spoke to her, I was calm. So we traveling, and I didn't realize it was such a long, you know, trip here. So I had managed to fall asleep in all of this. I fell asleep, and then suddenly the car stops.
Mm-hmm.
And I look around, it's completely dark, and they ask me to get out the car. And I just thought, I have no idea what's happening. I was afraid, so afraid, you have no idea. And we had to switch cars suddenly, and I just thought, this is not normal. If she had arranged a cab driver to take me straight there, why am I suddenly switching cabs and all of this? But anyway, with all of this, I get into the other cab thinking, I don't even know the direction I'm supposed to be going in. At that point, not praying to anybody or any swami, no, nothing is in my mind besides fear and the fact that I'm probably never going to see anybody again. So we eventually get to Prashanthiam, and I see Swami's picture. I think the minute you enter this Prashanthi, there's just, you know, Swami all over. And I thought, okay, I'm going to see my parents shortly. So we get into the ashram gates and we get to them. And coming from a westernized home, walking into a Prashanthi Nilayam apartment, it's not the most inviting when you are, firstly, have a negative connotation about even being here, and then to experience the bathrooms, and that it was very I was in complete distress. And I immediately said to my mom, I'm not leaving this room until I'm going back to the airport. She says, you know, you just need to have a shower, everything's going to be fine, and if it's fine, if you want to go back home, you can the next day. So I agreed, and I, you know, fell asleep, and my brothers had woke me up and said, listen, you can go home tomorrow, but why don't you come with me to international choir practice? Just one session. Just mm-hmm. come and see what it's about, and he'll take me for a little tour. And I was like refusing, and he says, I'm not asking you to stay. I'm just asking you to come with me today. So I agreed. So I go along with him, and we had to sit in separate places, of course. And I walk into this, what is it, the double-decker?
Double-decker building. Yeah.
I walk into the room, and it was pretty full. And I look around, and I see that there's the most beautiful people sitting in this room. They're not disabled. There's absolutely nothing wrong with them. They were filled with just complete happiness. And the first thought was, what is it that they know that I don't and I'm not feeling, even having known Swami all my life? How am I not feeling this? And I sat there in that room. And I think listening to the songs and being sung in different languages, and it was such an amazing experience. And suddenly, I'm sitting next to, I think it was a girl from Malaysia as well. She was from Malaysia. And there was an Australian next to me as well. And I just agreed to them, but I sat down, and suddenly I just feel like I'm being paralyzed. That's the first thought that came to my head, because my hands just, it was like electric. And as this singing is continuing, and I'm like, what is happening to me? Because I couldn't move my hands. And at that point, I thought, I'm definitely being paralyzed. I had no idea that it was actually energy. That was Swami. I now know that, you know, he was literally probably transforming and removing all this negativity that I have, that I was currently faced with. He was probably, you know, just refilling this tank with just love. And it was, I completely broke down in that choir room. And when we left, so we, it had completed after about 2 hours. I left completely elated, but I didn't say that to anybody. But I just knew that I need to stay. I just knew that there was, I needed to stay. So having walked out, and my brother Duchenne says to me, so how was it? I said, you know what? I have no idea what happened, but I just, there's something that happened to me. I don't know what it is. And I said, I felt like I was being paralyzed. And he's like, okay, but are you all right now? I said, I'm fine. And he says, okay, when we get back to the room, we'll call Vashi and see if she's sorted out your flight. And I said, no, I'm not going home.
Wow.
So he looks at me. And
you had not even seen Swami. You
I had not even seen Swami at this time. I had no intention of going to even a darshan. I just knew that I was going to go home.
Just being in the choir. Yes. A rehearsal session of the choir.
It was a rehearsal. And this was probably on the, I arrived on the 14th. I got to Prashanthi. Yeah, it was probably the 15th, because this is the day after, well, the morning, actually. It was the 15th. So I think that was probably when they had just started rehearsing. That's how good they are, you see, coming together.
Oh my God.
I had not even seen Swami at this time.
Amazing. I mean, I think that's what, that is the feeling that you get from everyone. The love that you see in Prashanthi, I think, perhaps you experience love in its purest form. I don't know.
I can't even explain to you the feeling that I had sitting there. But it was something that, you know, it's indescribable, really.
Yes.
It really is. So continuing that, so when we got back to the room, it suddenly seemed like a 5-star apartment. And, you know, I was feeling a lot more comfortable, and I decided, okay, I'm going for my darshan. And so my parents were apart. I think in 2010, South Africa played a big role in the decor,
okay,
which my parents were a part of. And so I was alone. I had no sister. And Duchenne, well, he was with, you know, also on with the choir and decor team. So I was attending everything by myself, and it was my first darshan, which was on the 15th. That was the evening darshan, 15th of December. So I sit there, I go in, and I'm sitting in there thinking, am I going to feel what I felt in this international choir? What am I going to feel? I had so many expectations, but was it going to, you know, really be true? And I was sitting next to, I think it was an Iranian girl, because she was fully clad in an hijab. And all of these experiences, I know it was for me saying, you should be so lucky that you've known me from the time you were born. I think it was his message to me, because the thing that really struck out, the first thought was, these are people from all over the world that are gathering in his abode. And here I am, who knew him but chose to ignore it, you know. So,
Well, but he was perhaps preparing you and waiting for the right time. And he created so many circumstances to make it really very, very special for you.
Yes.
And make it an experience which is definitely going to be life-altering for you. Perhaps, and that is the only way to, because when we live with Swami, you know, there is no anecdote or chapter of our lives which are not designed by the Divine. And once we have come into His fold, He's taken charge of our lives.
Yes.
And after that, you know, He's all the time, He's working overtime to ensure to ensure that, you know, we experience that love that He wants us to experience. And I always used to feel that way, you know, every time, even in the years 2010, 2011, you know, whenever I used to see Swami, and though when physically Swami was not as He was 20 years before, you know, every time He came for darshan, that is the only feeling that used to come, you know. He's just doing it because of His immense love, you know, in spite of His body not cooperating with Him, but He was just doing because
for us.
That is, yeah, that,
it was for us.
Yeah, that's what he said, you know. He just wanted to give himself completely so that we can experience that bliss that he wants us to experience. You know, it's like God who took the cosmic Lord. First of all, it was a big sacrifice for him to come into, you know, confine himself to a flesh and bone structure and then undergo everything just so that, you know, he can communicate to us that, hello, you know what? Yeah, I am here and this is the path to joy. This is the path for you. I want you to be happy just like I am and, you know, do this and, you know, be happy.
Swami's love is so pure. I mean, everybody experiences it in their own way. And the thing is, let me put in the electrical terminology. It's like the current flowing to the wire. You don't see it.
Yes.
Right. But when you touch it, you feel the shock. But you still can't explain. Right? You just say, I've got a shock.
Yes.
But
they
say, what was the feeling? So Swami's love is such that he gives you that love that somebody says, yes, but can you describe? He said, I can't feel it, but I can't
describe it. Can you describe it?
That's right. So, yeah, I mean, in good terms, I'm not saying that he's giving his shocks to it.
Yes.
Swami's love is so pure, and I know everybody who ever comes here, or even they don't come here, it doesn't mean that only if they come to Prashanti, then they'll get Swami's love. I said, I've met people in my life, they say, who have never seen Swami, but they've believed. And I know years back, I used to do a lot of readings. And in one of the books I read, Swami said that those who haven't seen me and believed in me are blessed twice.
Yes.
You know? And I think it's very true.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. Because ultimately, he's as close to you as you think he is.
Yes.
Because ultimately he is inside.
Yeah.
Ultimately, S-A-I, you know, Sai, see all this inside. So let's move on to Brother Kiri. It must have been a very recharging experience for you because you had the chance to really talk to so many people. At least 14, 15 people you have spoken to and collected their stories. So how was this experience?
Well, Brother Sai Ram, to all the listeners.
I'm sorry we are coming to you so late.
I really enjoyed talking to everybody. You know, I spoke to a vast spectrum of people. There were many of them who couldn't even express themselves in the way they want to. Many of them couldn't speak English. And I had to pick and choose. That's why you see 14, 15 numbers. There are actually a few more numbers I have. And I told them, look, maybe next Christmas we will speak. I probably won't have the chance to speak because I have to submit these reports. But this Christmas was amazing thing that Swami has done to me, which started probably in 2003.
Mm-hmm.
When I first came to Swami, you know, I was, just before that, I listened to Sai Radio. And I used to hear Prof. Venkataraman talking, and I was really enthralled listening to him. And the first trip, I walked, and I just came into Sai Radio, and there was somebody, a guard there, and I said, is Prof. Venkataraman around? And he asked me, do you have an appointment? I said, no, I just want to see him. And Prof. Venkataraman walks out, and he says, yes, brother, where are you from? And I said, brother, I'm from Malaysia. And I'm really pleased the work that you're doing. And I wish one day that, you know, I can do something in Sai Radio. And he tells me, well, you know what you could do? You can go back and record Chinese bhajans for me. Malaysia. And when I went back and I spoke to some Chinese and, you know, I said, look, I bought a recorder and I said, look, can you sing Chinese bhajans? And they all shied away because the Chinese, you know, they feel that they are not up to the quality of where the Indians sing bhajan, when they always compare themselves and bhajan's supposed to be in Sanskrit or Hindi or something like that. So I said, okay, Swami, what should I do now? And I said, okay, I told myself, Swami, the only way I can serve is to do seva. With that one request to do some recording to Prof. Venkataraman, and you see where I am now.
Sitting in radio side.
And talking to all these beautiful people, you know, I spoke to this huge group of people, and everybody expressed love. They could not speak it in English, but the way they showed to me, there was some actually just put their hands out. brother and they just said, and I knew when they put their heart, hands up like that, it's like Swami showing his hands up and showing love to them. And this was from every single person I met. Children, adults, whichever level society. And it was not me who chose them, I can tell you.
Yeah. It's very obvious.
Yeah, it's quite obvious. It's Swami who chose them. And all I had to do is just walk. I actually planned to, you know, I made my own plans whom I wanted to interview. I had in my mind, okay, this is the kind of person I look for. This is the type of stories I'm going to put in this thing. Because I have no idea. When I was given this job, I had no idea what I was supposed to do. So, and I just walked on to someone. He was working on the lights. Brother here was working on the lights in Western Canteen. The sisters, two sisters, I think you're walking near Ganesha Gate somewhere there. And I just stopped and I said, sister, would you like to be, you know, I'm doing, trying to get some things for Radio Sai and I got to do this. So it just happened like that. Yes. Swami chose the people and I'm just an instrument. I mean, we just have to go with the flow. We are just insignificant, you know.
Yes. We just have to add that you managed to catch us just before we got into our taxi this morning.
Today.
Oh, yeah. That is another story.
That's a story.
The fact that we are doing the conversation now is itself another one of the instances where Swami is constantly pulling the strings.
Yeah.
You're supposed to leave now, right?
We had our taxi packed. Our car was packed and he's actually
waiting outside Radio Sai for us now.
So Brother Kiri got us just in time.
In fact, that's what Brother Kiri, when he met me, I said, okay, we could probably do some recording tomorrow. And then suddenly he tells, no, I just met the sisters. Shesha is here. Can we do now?
it's Swami.
Yes.
Again, it's Swami.
Absolutely.
He said, why leave it for tomorrow?
Absolutely. So finally, I think your taxi is waiting. And probably your lunch also is waiting. I don't know. It's been more than an hour talking. But finally, can I ask each one of you to share what is that one moment in this Christmas that you really want to relive again and again? I know there are so many things that happened, right from 24th evening when you had the adult choir to 25th morning when you had the children's boys, students from the university singing, and you had the evening, the play, and then you had the children's choir yesterday, and today you had the sadhana come. There's so many things, and apart from this, I think there are so many other beautiful things that you would have encountered, just maybe in the canteen, maybe in your room, maybe talking to so many people. But if there is only one memory from this Christmas that you really want to cherish, what would that be?
I think for me it is the darshan of the 24th of December. Mm-hmm. The morning darshan of the 24th. Sai Kulwant Hall was filled with Jesus and Buddha and Lord Shiva and Swami. They were all present in their form. The feeling in that hall was completely, it was absolute bliss. And I know that every single person that attended that darshan felt it. And this is something that I have, you know, just asked Swami to keep with me. I need to be able to take with all of this blessing and this energy back home and spread it to everybody back home and everybody that needs it and just radiate. And, you know, a part of why we are Swami's messengers is to radiate his love. It's not, you know, it's sharing experiences, but it's not trying to convert people.
Yes.
They need to look at you like the way that I looked at those international choir singers.
Yes.
Thinking, what is it that they know that I don't? Why do they look in the state of complete bliss? And it's just radiating that. And that energy from the hall on the 24th morning darshan is something that I really would like to take with me.
You just want others to be as happy as you are.
Yes.
That's all. Yes, Urvashi sister.
Sairam, I'm going to talk to you about two things because I echo Sesha's sentiment about the 24th, the morning of the 24th. There was something so electrifying about that darshan in particular. We've got an aunt that we've brought with us that's not a Sai devotee.
Mm-hmm.
She just came along with us because she wanted to come on holiday with her nieces.
Mm-hmm.
And she actually mentioned that when the Shiva Bhajan was sung that morning, it touched her in such a way that she broke down. So that was really, really, really powerful that morning. The other thing for me that I will take back, and it's also why I actually keep on coming back, is Swami's planted this tree we know of, the meditation tree. And when planning my trip here, I said I want to spend as much time as possible at this tree, and I managed to spend almost every morning there this trip. That's basically what he's left now for his devotees. That's what I believe. That is our way to actually...
Enlightenment.
It's our way to enlightenment. It's our way to liberation, because meditation and stilling our minds and making sure that we're actually focused on what we need to be focused on is ultimately what we need to do. So for me, the meditation tree, if I could just spend as much time as possible there.
How was it for you just sitting there?
A couple of months ago, I started getting deeper into meditation. Prior to this, it was just, you know, dabbling a little bit, and then you have many thoughts, and then you just stop. But Swami's message to me now is to meditate. So I read Dhyana Vahini a couple of months ago, and I started putting into practice whatever Swami tells us to do in that book. And it's amazing how easily this comes to you once you really focus on it.
Open yourself up to it.
Yes. And the meditation tree just enhances that experience even more. So, for me, the meditation tree is my favorite.
That's so fantastic, because meditation tree is something which has fascinated me too so many times, though I've never really gone in the recent past to go and sit there, because we do know that Swami has materialized that yantra.
Yes. Yes.
And Swami had planted it there, and Swami had told I think that happened sometime in late 50s, 1958 or 59, and Swami had told that what I have placed below this tree has that power. It is going to pull many enlightened souls to this place.
Mm-hmm.
Swami had told. There is so much power that Swami has invested.
It's also the noisiest place in Puttaparthi. If you go and sit there in the morning, it's not silent.
Mm-hmm.
It's not still. It is very, very, very difficult to sit there and to just slip into a meditation, because there are bats in the tree that are screeching early in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, to me, that is Swami saying the world is noisy. He said it before. The world is noisy. You need to find the stillness within that.
Wow. Phenomenal. And Brother Kiri.
This has been one amazing journey for me. And if there is one message which I want to take back is, you know, Swami's love is so immense that people who keep coming back, repeating, especially without his physical presence, are the grain that has been separated from the chaff, you know. And people are so pure now, you know, and you see this everywhere. Although they speak different languages and they have different traditions, different cultures, but that love just transcends everybody and everything. And it is the pure that are coming, more and more pure people. I'm not saying they are not pure anywhere else, but the more and more pure attracted to the center of energy, which is Prashanti, at least for me right now, and people will keep coming. And I think this will grow. Previously, people used to come, you know, to be in the presence of Swami, to say, I've been to Prashanti, taking photographs in places around here, or taking photographs of Swami. I think that was on an ego trip. But now it is just going inwards, and people more and more are going inwards, and they feel that source of that energy is here in Prashanti. That's my take back message, Brother Sai Ram.
Wow. Phenomenal. And Brother Arvind, yes.
Well, 2001, Swami proved me two things. One was that his dreams are true. your letters, Swami reads your letters, even if you put it the altar at your place. He answered me. 2013, Swami has shown His omnipresence when I visited Isharma Samadhi, and that's the biggest thing I'm going to take and tell everyone. Swami is there. He's there, He's there, He's there, and He'll always be there.
Wow.
With the finishing words, let me thank Sai Organization Australia to have that belief in me, to give me this opportunity to come and help them and to save Swami. And I've got two brothers in New Zealand. Now I found a third brother, Kiri. Swami has given me a third brother. Sai Ram to
Sai
all
Sai family
listeners.
Is all the time growing. Yeah. And many times you feel so connected and so beautiful and so comfortable and so joyous when you are in the Sai family. Mm. And I think that is what is Christmas all about. You know, Bhagwan used to always, in his discourses, many times used to say, you know, I'm with you, around you, below you, above you, you know, but at that time we all the time wanted, we said, okay, that is fine, but you know, we still wanted to just stand next to Swami and take a picture. But now, as both the sisters said, you know, Swami is just beside you.
Yeah.
He's all the time with you. And I think the more and more you feel that, more you experience it.
Yeah.
Vishu, can I say one more thing?
Sure.
Right? If I'm not saying anything, I think I'm not doing my duty.
Please do.
Look, my wife gave me the permission to come, right? I wasn't going to come. She gave me the, and she's been urging me and said, when are you going to book your ticket? When are you going to go? Right? So I'm very thankful to her, and hope Swami's blessing goes to her and my two kids, Ashmit and Nikita.
Well, Swami's arranging everything.
Thank you.
That is part of Swami's master plan.
Thank you so much for giving us this opportunity.
It is wonderful for all of you to come, and both the sisters, actually, as they're saying, they're about to leave Prashanti, but I want to express, I don't know how to express your gratitude to Swami for having made this possible, that we could really sit and relive this experience of being in Prashanti for Christmas and share this joy, because ultimately this joy of Prashanti is something which has to be shared, because this Shanti becomes Prashanti, as Swami said, only when you share it. Not this peace and this joy becomes Prashanti only when you take it along with you and share it. And I think to some extent, in whatever capacity we can, we have tried to do. Thank you so much for participating in this.
Sai Ram.
So, that was Arvind Chauhan from Australia, Kiritaran Subramaniam from Malaysia, and the two sisters from South Africa, Urvashi and Sesha, sharing their reinvigorating memories of being in Prashanti for Christmas 2013. Just being with them and reliving this experience for me was very enriching. Even though you know that Bhagwan is with you, He is around you, but when you sit down and you talk to so many people who have experienced that, who start sharing that from the depths of their heart, it's always a very, very soul-filling experience, and that's how I felt. I hope you too loved this session of sharing their feelings and moments of experiencing the inner Swami. And as we ended that session, our job is to experience this as well as expand this, to take it to as many people we can, so that more live in this joy of living with the divine presence within, because there is no other joy more greater, no other joy comparable to that bliss. Dear listeners, thank you so much for being with us during this entire Thursday Live program, right from the morning. As we pull the curtain down on the second Thursday of this new year, I thank each one of you on behalf of Radio Sai and express my deepest sense of gratitude to Bhagwan
We are beholden to you, Swami, for having given us this chance of being here, of thinking about you, of experiencing your love and sharing your love. You are truly the heart, the soul and the center of everything that we do in Radio Sai. Thank you so much, Swami. And dear listeners, thank you so much. Please be with us and do send us your feedback. Let us know what and how you would like us to offer this program so that you find it beneficial. As always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. So, I am Team Radio Sai's Bishu, and as I move on, a sweet good night and loving Sairam from Prashant Nilayam. Even as I sign off, you will continue to listen to a drama on the story of Mahabali presented by the children from Sri Satya Sai Vidya Vihar, Alua, Kerala, which was presented in the Divine Presence on 16 September 2013 during Onam celebrations. So you will continue to listen to this. Keep listening and let us spend every moment of our lives thinking only about Him. Sai Ram.